Praise God. Well, as you know, that we've been doing a series, believe it or not, we're up to number 20, and it's on healing. It's called Healing Your Gift from God. We're up to part 20, but we're also at number 5 on the topic of roadblocks. So we've been talking about the roadblocks to our healing, and today it's number 5. So if you haven't seen the series and you're interested in it, you can go to our webpage. In the middle of the page, it says the center homepage is recent messages. Click on the Healing Your Gift from God section, and it will, if you scroll down, you'll be able to go all the way back to the very first message, which was back in October the 11th of 2023. Amen. So this is a great series in terms of covering as much as we can on the topic of healing. So let's do our declaration and then a quick review. And I encourage you to speak this declaration daily. I operate from a position of victory because I have already won. I always approach the enemy from a position of power because the power of God is in me. We have 3 anchor scriptures, all from the Passion Translation. 1 Peter 2:24. He himself carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Our instant healing flowed from his wounding. Romans 16:20. And the God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet, and the wonderful favor of our Lord Jesus will surround you. Romans 8, verses 10 to 11. Now, not tomorrow, right now, Christ lives his life in you. And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. In the fellowship of being one with him is our healing. So last week, or last time we were together, wasn't last week, the week before, 2 weeks ago, we covered roadblocks number 12 and 13. The reason for people not being healed in roadblock number 12 was they need to decide when their sometime is. When is your sometime of healing? We covered scripture that confirmed our healing occurred at Calvary and was not out in the future. Brother Hagin has always said that healing is a fact and not a promise. It's a fact that's already been done. We looked at the tenses in the Hebrew in different translations of Isaiah 53:5 and 1 Peter 2:24. Now keep in mind that Peter was present at Calvary and he saw what happened to Jesus. He saw the stripes on his body and he saw Jesus not only die, but be resurrected. He witnessed our healing becoming a fact. We receive our healing by faith, and each of us has to be convinced that we already have it, especially when we don't see it immediately change in our body as an answer to prayer. Sometimes we pray and there's not an immediate response. All right. Now, I'm going to take a little road journey before we continue, and I think it helps us to ask ourselves a question. Do I believe that I am saved? Hang in there. I'm going somewhere with this, okay? Do I believe that I'm saved? Ask yourself that. Now, can you prove to me that you're saved? Can you prove to me that you're saved? Do you have any physical evidence of your salvation? Think on that. Now, when I was born again, I can tell you the year, the month, the location, and all the people that were present. But there was no actual physical change in me because salvation is spiritual. Sometimes we witness a person's countenance may change after they're saved, but this is not the routine thing. This doesn't happen all the time. But if you were to come to me and say, you know, I don't believe you're saved, prove it to me. I would fight you tooth and nail, declaring that I am born again. I'm a Christian, okay? Because I know it by my spirit. I know by my spirit that I'm saved. Now, can I prove it to you physically? No. Over time, you might be able to notice differences in my behaviors or my conversations. Don't talk like a truck driver anymore. But just like salvation is spiritual, so is healing. Now, the difference is that with healing, we can see physical evidence in the natural in many cases, not all of them. So my point is that when we believe by faith that we are healed, it too is spiritual. And whether we can see an immediate physical change or not, that doesn't mean that healing didn't happen at the time we prayed. Remember the fig tree. Go back and remember the fig tree. Jesus cursed it the first day, but it wasn't seen to be dead till 24 hours later, till the next day. It didn't happen immediately. Now, people can be healed emotionally after a traumatic event, and many people have gone through some horrific things, all right? But there's no physical evidence that they may have lived with emotional symptoms for years. Some people have had issues happen in their life, and they have developed a fear, hatred, grief, discouragement, unforgiveness. They are depressed. They're unable to sleep. They have thoughts of suicide. But one touch from Jesus, just one touch from Jesus, and they are restored to wholeness, sometimes even better than before the traumatic event. Just don't get hung up in thinking that because the physical evidence hasn't happened in the natural, that you are not healed. For by grace through faith, you're saved. And by grace through faith, you're also healed. Okay? We see that in Ephesians 2:8. Now, the same power that heals our spirit at the time of salvation, causing it to go from death to life, we were dead spiritually, but then our spirit got born again, got saved, and changed into life. That's the same power that will heal your body. The moment you believe that Jesus bore your sins, you can be saved. The moment you believe that he bore your sicknesses, you can be healed. Let me say that again. The moment you believe that Jesus bore your sins, you can be saved. And the moment you believe that he bore your sicknesses, you can be healed. Now, we also covered number 13, reason 13, was Paul's thorn in the flesh. And we went through several scriptures to show that Paul's thorn in the flesh was a messenger of Satan, a personality, and not a sickness. We looked in depth at 2 Corinthians 12:7 to 10. We also looked at the purpose of Paul's thorn. We looked at buffeting means, and the numerous persecution events that he experienced. God's grace gives us power to rise above the buffeting of Satan. Remember, God's grace will get you through any kind of hardship, sickness, or disease if you don't quit. Don't give up. We also looked at the word infirmities and how it was used regarding Paul, okay? And it was used, once again, not referring to sickness or an eye disease. And lastly, we looked at the references to an eye disease and explained the true meaning of large, as well as other speculations that were often quoted. Sometimes you have to go back, look at the Hebrew, look at the Greek, study it out with before you make some kind of a conclusion that it's the same as another scripture. So tonight we are going to look at reason number 14 as the why people are not healed, and it is breaking natural laws. So much of what we're going to talk about tonight has to do with food. All right, don't go run into the refrigerator. But we're looking at breaking natural laws. Remember now, we want to have our prayers answered. If there's roadblocks, if there's something that's keeping us from getting healed, we need to address it. So let's talk about some issues in the natural that can both prevent you from getting healed as well as be the cause of your illness. It can work both ways. There's numerous things in the world that are available to us, but are also very unhealthy and can be the root cause of an illness. The first area I want to discuss is about food consumption or our diet. For some, this is a major problem, but for others, there's no problem at all. I actually, you know, have some friends that are like skinny as a toothpick. I do, you know, wish I was like that. not my nature. But all of us know that a healthy diet, we know this, a healthy diet is what our bodies need and what will help us to maintain long life. Okay? You can't abuse your body and expect to have a long life. We know that when growing up, when we drank milk for healthy bones, etc., all of these things were for good. But today we are told to abstain from milk after a certain age. Now, it needs to be said, keep in mind, that the food we eat today is not the food that was eaten by people in Bible times or even 200 years ago. Food has taken on its own identity. A lot has happened. Natural homegrown foods are the healthiest for us. But if you don't live on a farm, it can be a problem unless you decide to purchase, say, organic foods. When foods are altered with additives or chemicals, you have potentially changed how your body will utilize it, and it can also change what it can do to your body. So let's go to Genesis. We're going to start off with Genesis 1, 20 to 31. We're going to read that. Genesis 1, 20 to 31. And I want you to see here that God took care of everything. Verse 20. Then God said, and I'm reading from the New King James. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. When he created man, he saw it was very good, but he saw it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Now, notice God created everything that man would ever need before he created man. He did everything first before he created man. Man had everything when he arrived. Everything was done when man came. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. We know that we have dominion over these things. God gave it to us. Verse 29, and God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. He gave us everything to eat. It was there before man came. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. So he gave food for us as well as for the animals. Then God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Genesis 2. Let's go to Genesis 2, and I'm going to start at verse 4, and I'm going to read down to verse 17 from the New King James. Genesis 2, starting verse 4, down to 17. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord made, out of the ground, the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and the onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria. The fourth river is the Euphrates. Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Now, he's not talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual death. Remember, now, when Adam was created, his spirit was alive. All right? And the death that God's talking about here is a spiritual death. We know that Eve was tempted by Satan, and they sinned, and they disobeyed God. Okay, let's go to Genesis 3. Genesis 3, we're going to pick up at verse 17. Genesis 3, verse 17. We're going to go down to 23 in the New King James. "Then to Adam he said, 'Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it in the days of all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return.' Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." Verse 21. "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken.'" Now, notice that God created everything for Adam and Eve to eat. They had the herbs, they had fruit, they had fish, cattle, bread. But now they had to work the ground in order to produce the food. Not only did God create their amazing self-healing bodies, but he created all healthy food to put into these bodies to sustain life. Just think for a minute about one specific miracle: water. Just think about water. We need it to live. We can only go so many days without it. Amen. Water. God created this amazing H2O, water, okay? It's needed to live, but it's needed to stay healthy, and it has so many wonderful purposes and uses. We clean our bodies with it. And God didn't get a single thing, he didn't forget a single thing that we would need to sustain life, especially water. And it's, we have it all over. Amen. God gave the Israelites all the instructions on how to care for the ground and what was needed to continue food production. All right, let's go to Leviticus 25. So he gave them the animals, he gave them the food, and he made sure there was even stuff for the animals so they could eat healthy. Leviticus 25, we're going to look at the Sabbath in the seventh year. We're going to start at verse 1 to 12 in the New King James, Leviticus 25. "And the Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year, there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land.'" Rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. "You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. What grows of its own accord of your harvest you shall not reap, nor gather the grapes of your unintended vine, for it is a year of rest for the land. And the Sabbath produce of the land shall be food for you, your male and female servants, your hired man, and the stranger who dwells with you. For your livestock and the beasts that are in your land, all its produce shall be for food. Verse 8, and you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years. In the time of the 7th Sabbath of years shall be to you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement, you shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a Jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. That 50th year shall be a Jubilee to you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your intended vine. For it is the Jubilee, it shall be holy to you, you shall eat its produce from the field. Let's go down to verse 20. We're going to read verses 20 to 22. And if you say, now listen to this, what shall we eat in the 7th year, since we shall not sow nor gather in our produce? Then I will command my blessing on you. I will command my blessing on you in the 6th year, and it will bring forth produce enough for 3 years. Think about that. They're not going to plant anything, but God's blessing in the 6th year will bring forth produce for 3 years. And you shall sow in the 8th year, and eat old produce until the 9th year, until its produce comes in, and you shall eat of the old harvest. So in the 6th year, the ground produced enough to feed them in the 7th year, and in the 8th year, while they were producing food after that year. God took care of his people. He instructed them on all of the right things to do so they would have enough to eat, as well as how to protect the land. He told him how to take care of the land. Something that has been known regarding our agriculture is that it is critical that we keep our land healthy. We need to keep our land healthy. Now, when you put chemicals and pesticides on your plants or in the ground, it may grow and make a bigger plant, but will those who consume it be made ill from the chemicals and pesticides by eating them? How about the antibiotics and steroids given to animals? Those who consume the meats or the chicken can end up with diseases that our ancestors never had. Plant-based foods are as old as creation. We see it from Genesis 1:29. There's something called photosynthesis. Little biology class here, a little photosynthesis, okay? It's a chemical process whereby plants capture the sun's radiant energy and use carbon dioxide and water from the environment to convert sunlight into life-sustaining nourishment. And the result, live nutrients in plant foods. They become the building blocks of nutrition and the foundation of a diet that is good for your entire body, for your waistline, for your future health and the environment. However, no matter how powerful the sun is, plants won't grow well in poor or barren soil. So we read the verses in Leviticus where God instructed the Israelites on how to allow for the land to replenish itself. The dead fruit left in the fields was fertilizer for the soil. Now, how many of you, I'll look for some raised hands over there. How many of you know what a compost pile is? Okay. Have you ever had one? Anybody ever have a compost pile? Okay. Now, let's just say that God doesn't waste anything and he was the first to recycle. He recycles everything. He was the first great recycler, if that's a word. Okay. Now, compost, just if you don't know about that, maybe you grew up in the city. Compost is a mixture of ingredients used as plant fertilizer and to improve soil's physical, chemical, and biological properties by decomposing things from nature. Okay, so let's say you have eggs for breakfast, but you take the shells, you put them in your compost pile. All right, you have a banana or an apple, the peeling goes into the compost pile. You have vegetables, peelings from, say, carrots, onions, whatever. You put the food or the leftovers or the parts you're not cooking in your compost pile. Grass clippings. How about leaves? There's plenty of those around. We could have a big compost pile up in the Poconos. Dead plants, okay? So once it decomposes, it becomes fertilizer. Along the way, it may not smell so good, okay? But we throw things out that have nutritional value and can be put back into our soil, making it healthier and more nutritious. Anyone ever been on a farm and seen the farmer fertilizing with a manure machine? Okay, farmers put all the cow manure in the back of this manure machine. Okay, it's like spreading manure out over the fields. And when they just, you know, go along and this thing kind of spits it all out and it goes over the fields and you see all the manure out there. Well, there's extreme rich nitrogen in the manure. Doesn't smell so good, okay? But it's really nutritious for the ground. Here's my point. We need to be conscious of what we eat. And it can be, if it's filled with additives, not healthy. Is it processed food? Junk food? Candy? In excess? Not good. Be familiar with reading labels and looking at additives. How much salt is in it? How much sugar have they added? Now, there's a lot of nutritional information out there. And if you are experiencing symptoms, I just encourage you to examine the ingredients of what you are eating and do some research, and maybe just cutting out certain foods will cause you to feel better. Our milk, our grains, produce, fruit, animal products, they are not what they used to be. They are not. You go to a grocery store, you buy a tomato, or you go to the down the field to your garden and you pick a fresh tomato. Totally different. And they taste different as well. Now, when I go back to visit my family in Pennsylvania, where I grew up, I have two nephews out there, and both of them have chickens. So I get my eggs straight from the chicken's backside. Free dirt included, okay? They don't wash the eggs. Of course, I wash them before I use them, okay? But they stay fresher longer if I don't wash them. One nephew has beehives for honey. He taps the maple trees for maple syrup, and they have goats, as well as being a very active hunter and fisherman. And they have a garden in the summer, as well as utilizing what is already on the property for nature. There's so many things that nature has out there that they didn't plant. Okay. Dandelions can be used for so many things. You could even pull up dandelions and put them in your salad. So they eat what I call close to the land as possible. So eating a healthy diet is essential to maintain a healthy body, but it will also prevent sickness and disease from occurring. We need to keep our individual immune systems healthy. Your immune system creates inflammation to protect the body from infection, injury, or disease. Now, inflammation is part of the body's defense system, helping you heal from injuries and fight off infections. So let's say, for example, you get a bloody scrape on your knee when you trip over your dog's leash or you fall off your bike or something, okay? Your body immediately releases chemicals that are a sort of red alert. White blood cells then act like a tiny SWAT team rushing towards your knee to start the healing process. Way back in the beginning of this series, I talked about our miraculous, wonderful bodies, okay? You might experience the resulting inflammation as pain, swelling, redness, or warmth around the wound site, okay? An inflammatory response activates your immune system to fight an infection, and that's how you get better. It's built into our bodies. If you come down with a cold or a bacterial infection, This process happens inside the cells and tissues where you usually can't see it. So when I had talked about our miraculous bodies that God created, okay, what I want to emphasize tonight is that we have to take care of our bodies. God created them. He gave us everything. We know that there's so many things that our bodies will heal itself. A broken bone. The bone, over a period of time, when it heals and mends, it's stronger than it was before the break. By not eating properly, by not exercising, etc., I can sabotage my health and open the door for illness. Okay? The enemy will take advantage. He's going to come along and try to kill, steal, and destroy. Okay? But also, if I'm not eating properly, I open the door for illness as well as I block the healing from happening. But now let's go to another side of the healthy food consumption. And that's when we continue to consume too many calories and now we're overweight, which can also be the cause for sickness and disease. You can have diabetes, joint pain, high blood pressure, can't exercise, and there's a huge obesity problem in our country. And then we need to look at the unhealthy things that we intentionally put in our bodies that are known to produce disease, like smoking with cigarettes, alcohol, and recreational drugs, just to name a few. People become addicted to these things, and the damage to their bodies, in some cases, can never be reversed without an intervention from God. Marijuana is an example. It's legal. But nobody's looking at what's in it, what they're adding to it. People are clueless to what's been put in and how damaging it can become and how it is. Okay? They're finding so many psychiatric problems with people that are smoking marijuana. God didn't intend for mankind to consume these kinds of things. We did this to ourselves. Self-sabotage. Sometimes people bow down to peer pressure, and they want to fit in with the world, it'll get you killed. It can get you killed. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the New King James. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Listen to it in the Passion. If anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. As new creatures in Christ Jesus, our DNA has changed. I like to say it this way. I'm simply letting Jesus use my body. This is no longer about me, but about what he wants me to do. Let's go to Romans 8:10 in the New Living Translation. Romans 8:10 in New Living. And it says, and Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. Listen to it in the Passion. Now Christ lives his life in you, and even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving Spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. And I had read this as part of our declaration. Let's go to Romans 8, verses 12 and 13. Romans 8, verses 12 and 13. New King James. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For, catch this now. We don't want to live by the flesh. We want to live by the Spirit. Okay? Verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. In the Passion, it says it this way. So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claims on us at all, and we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. For when you live controlled by the flesh, you're about to die. But if the life of the Spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, we then taste his abundant life. So when you're feeling helpless, weak, or hopeless, listen to what Apostle Paul says. Okay, let's go to Romans 8, 26 to 28. Now remember, when we talked about Apostle Paul and the thorn in the flesh, God's grace got him through. He experienced weakness, but God's grace got him through. Romans 8, 26 to 28. I'm reading from the New International Reader's Version, the NIRV. Starting verse 26. In the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us when we are weak. Whatever you're going through, the Holy Spirit will be there for you. We don't know what we should pray for, but the Spirit himself prays for us. He prays through groans too deep for words. God, who looks into our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, and the Spirit prays for God's people just as God wants him to pray. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. He appointed them to be saved in keeping with his purpose. Listen to this in the Passion, Romans 8, 26. The Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. The Holy Spirit's there to empower us when we feel or think we can't make it. For example, at times we don't even know how to pray or know the best things to ask for. But the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings, yet he also understands the desires of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, his holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. Verse 28. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his designed purpose. So, we need to recognize that we were bought with a price, and what we put into our bodies, okay, will affect us in how we carry out God's will. Being healthy is certainly a much more effective way to minister to others instead of being sick. People may be asking God to heal them. Now we're talking about roadblocks. People may be asking God to heal them while eating unhealthy. They're eating unhealthy foods, or they're abusing their bodies with excesses in alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, whatever, okay? This can be a roadblock to healing. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4:8. 1 Timothy 4:8 in the New King James. And then I'm going to read it in the Passion. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Notice that it doesn't say bodily exercise profits nothing. We need it, okay? We can exercise as long as we don't take it to an extreme. Some people are so obsessed with exercise that that's 24/7 what they think about, what they do. Listen to it in the Passion. For athletic training only benefits you for a short season, but righteousness brings lasting benefit, and everything for righteousness contains the promise of life for time and eternity. So, bottom line, ask the Holy Spirit what you should do and where to go so that you can get the proper knowledge to maintain a healthy you. Whether it is an exercise program or healthy nutritional intake, take care of the body that God gave you so that you can carry out his plan and purpose for your life, for him. Let's go to 1 John 2:15 and 17, last scripture for the night. 1 John 2:15-17, I'm reading it both in the New King James and then the Passion. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Listen to it in the Passion. Don't set the affections of your heart on this world or in loving the things of the world. The love of the Father and the love of the world are incompatible. Catch that. You can't be loving things of the world and loving things of God. It's telling us that. They're incompatible. For all that the world can offer us, the gratification of our flesh, the allurement of the things of the world, and the obsession with status and importance, none of these things come from the Father, but from the world. We've talked about this in the past, about the world, its influences and persecutions and things. The world is the enemy system, and he will use things of the world to lure us away from God. And if it's food, and if he can get us to go down that pathway, get us to gain 50 pounds or whatever, okay, then he has taken you down a pathway that's not healthy and not good for you and can become consequential, okay? Someone once asked, think about this now. Let's say you're a teenager and someone says, I'm going to give you a brand new car, but it's going to be the only car that you can have for the rest of your life. You're a teenager. Let's say you're going to live to 95, 100 years old. Somebody gives you a car and they say, okay, it's the only car that you're going to have the rest of your life. How would you take care of it? How would you take care of it? Would you change the oil? Would you make sure it's washed? Would you clean it inside, outside? Make sure you have enough antifreeze. You would check all the levels, the fluid levels, check the transmission. Would you do all those things consistently? Now remember, the only one you're ever going to have, okay? Folks, we only have one body, the one God gave us. I encourage you to think about taking care of yourself, taking care of your body. And maybe you are fine, wonderful, but maybe you can do some tune-ups. Maybe there are some things that you can change or fix. So let's pray. We finished with the message tonight. This was one roadblock, number 14, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, you're just so good. You gave us everything. You gave us food, you gave us animals, and you gave even those that we can eat and consume, you gave them food to be healthy. You took care of everything before you put man on the earth. You took care of all the things. You created everything to be recycled and reused. Everything that we would throw out has nutritious things in it that can be redone, reused for good. We thank you, Lord, that there are so many things out there that distract, but Lord, I pray and ask that those who have been struggling with things that they know are not healthy, that you'll give them the strength. You'll give them the courage. You'll, by your Holy Spirit, you'll steer them down the right path to things that will be nutritious and helpful and help them to change and to get back in line with you with a healthy diet, with exercise, whatever it is, Father. Help them by your Holy Spirit. If they feel weak and they can't do it, your Holy Spirit is there to help them. And I pray that they will seek you and this will be the end result, that they will return to health. We thank you for that. Father, we just thank you for all the blessings you gave us through Jesus Christ. Not one thing do we lack because of Jesus going to Calvary. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. We never conclude a service without giving you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you are watching this live stream for the very first time, I'm going to pray a prayer and you can repeat it after me. And when you conclude, you will have been born again. Amen. So just repeat this. Say, dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe that he was crucified. He died and he was buried, but he rose on the third day. Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior and my Lord. Take over my life and fill me with your Spirit. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. I thank you, Lord, that I now have eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that simple prayer tonight, please contact us because we'd like to send you some free information. You can call us by phone, reach out to us by email, or by mail. And we want to get this information into your hands. And I encourage you to find a home church. Find a church where you will be taught the word and you'll be guided and steered into continuing your walk with the Lord, but going in the right direction. We all need to be taught. So I encourage you to reach out to us and we will get back to you with some information.